QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net controls, Detect Tuesday Net, at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, positive offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communication. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. One announcement I'd like to make is Joshua Robb was found today. They airlifted him to be checked out. I believe that at Loma Linda. Anyway, found him about 2:30 this afternoon. All thanks go out to all the volunteers with search and rescue and every other group that helped with this over 24-hour search. Evidently, he seems to be in good health, and I think everybody's happy that he made it through this. Topic for the evening, we will be discussing emergency base setups for purposes like this, emergency antennas, and possible things that we have to MacGyver together to get this all going. I will now call a roster of the net. WB6CLZ, Mike.
Tom is WB6CLZ in Irwin Lake, standing by for the net.
Hey, Mike, glad to have you out there. How about WB6CIN?
This is WB6CIN.
Good evening, Cindy. Glad to hear you're out there. How about KA6CIA, George? You may have his antenna disconnected, as a lot of us do through a lot of this lightning that just passed through here. I think the cells have made it through for tonight. I hope. How about KE6QI, Nancy? And I've been heard. KI6FKN, Chris.
And check her in.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Nancy's heading over to our house to give us something. Can I check her in? KJ6KDL.
I guess you just did. Okay. Does she have this white-haired man with her?
No, he's not here.
Alrighty. Well, we'll let him check in a little bit if he's out there. How about KI6FKN, Chris?
Good evening, Tom and everyone on the net. KI6FKN.
Hey, Chris, glad to have you out there. A lot of people have their antennas disconnected, and I just now put mine back on. So, how about KJ68ZS, Mike?
Evening, Tom Nanette. This is KJ6HZS. No traffic.
Hey, Mike. Here, you made it through the storm there. That's good. And a courtesy check in to K6EKX. How about KJ6FIL, Mike?
everybody. Hope everybody survived the wacky weather. It's been up and down for the last few days. Little of this, little of that, but survived. KJ6, FIL.
Yeah, roger that, Mike. I don't remember having this much rain and this amount of thunderstorms and hail ever, actually, at this time of the year. I know we've had it occasionally, but it seems like we're getting a lot this year. How about one more time there for yourself, Jim, KJ6KDL.
Yeah, absolutely, KJ6 and KDL here. Did I say that right? KJ6KDL here.
All right, we got you both in here. Alrighty, how about W6GZI, Frank?
Good evening, this is W6GZI.
Good evening there, Frank, and glad to have you with us. How about KI6IQA, Kelly?
KI6IQA, good evening.
Kelly, real quick, if you know, when they have search and rescue teams out like that, are they in teams of two, or does that vary?
Do not have any clue. Never been invited. And when Mountain Rescue Team 5 Alpha goes, we go never less than two trucks, and hopefully 5-6 trucks. And the pack stays together as a pack unless something really obscure happens. KI6IQA.
Okay, Kelly, appreciate that information. I know they had somewhere between 30 and 40 teams. I think at least, I know there was quite a few of different shifts, so kudos to them. How about K6GVL, Ron, Green Valley? Nothing heard from Ron there. How about N6BOP, Ann? And I've heard there from Ann. How about 86PL, Harold? And nothing heard there. K6LCS, Clint.
Good evening, Ned. What an exciting last 72 hours. Ham radio ads, American heroes, like the folks who are on that rescue mission this afternoon. K6LCS.
Hey, Clint, glad to have you with us. Hopefully you got a little info about what went on Saturday. Appreciate that. KJ6MFO, Jay, are you out there? And I heard, going to drop on down here to K6YNW, Chris.
And howdy doody, K6YNW.
Oh, Chris. Okay, Chris, glad to have you out there. Don't know if W6POO is out there also. And nothing heard. We'll try KD6LN. Believe he's out of town. And nothing heard. Let's see here. How about AE6CK, Victor?
Good evening, Commander Group. Victor is Santa Fe Springs right now. Way over.
Okay, Victor. Hopefully you didn't get as much rain as we did down there. Well, we've had some mean stuff up here. KA6ROD, Rod. Nothing heard. KB6LTY, Christy. And nothing heard. Let's see here. We'll give a shout out here to NQ7RD, Rick. Already nothing heard. A lot of these people, I'm sure, have their radios disconnected for the night. Anybody else out there like to check in as a guest, please come back to KF6Q.
The basic TV thing.
Good evening there, Ray. Glad you could be with us for a little bit here. Hope the weather was better down there in Rancho. Anybody else out there?
How about a late one?
All right, Harry, got you checked in here, KE6RJ. Anybody else?
Six RJ said that. Thank you.
Glad to have you with us, Harry. Anybody else?
W6JET.
And glad to have you with us this evening. Anybody else? All right. Really surprised to see we have as many as we have. Appreciate everybody for checking in. And if we were still having lightning thundering up here, we would cancel the net. That was that's under the clause of conditions permitting. Boy, we came awfully close to not. Alrighty. Well, Mike, CLZ, what do we have out there for DX, or have you had even a chance to get on with DX?
We've had a bit of a chance. We played around a little bit before the net got on to 20 meters. And right away worked some trans-equatorial propagation, worked Charlie Echo 4, Sierra Echo Sierra in Chile, 5.9 plus. He was really good signal, and he gave me a 5.9 with 100 watts. So, yeah, conditions aren't too bad. Space weather right now is reporting a sunspot number of 97, with a solar flux index sitting at 124 solar flux units, which that's getting pretty high, getting up there. They're only predicting 140 solar flux units for this cycle. So, you know, we're getting there, and all we need is some decent sunspots and a little less absorption of our signals, and maybe things will start working a little bit better. That's about all the DX that I've been playing around with. You know, I've been listening here and there, but mostly haven't had time to really sit down and enjoy myself and long QSOs and such. So we're in the same boat we've been in for a while. Anyway, why don't you throw it up there and see if somebody else has had better luck than I have. Seems to be a broken record. Back over to you, Tom. KF6Q and the Tech Tuesday Net, WB6CLZ, Irwin Lake.
Okay, Mike. Well, we always appreciate that. That was due to a solar flux of my tongue there. Anyway, appreciate all that information you have from, you know, space weather. And there's always something out there, a couple contacts. Let's see, anybody else out there with any DX, little or big, please come back. Alrighty. Well, that kind of shows where it's been at there. How about Clint out there, the man of the hour, the man of Torrance? Clint, what do you have out there for us this evening? K6 LCS.
K6 LCS with no report tonight. Just kidding. God, we have an exciting Saturday at the Torrance Amfest. We had passes beginning at 7:47 in the morning. We had 4.5 minutes of uninterrupted FM from Arisat 1 at 9:26 in the morning. It was awesome. AO27 at 2:41. Then AO51 went over at 3:48. And about two-thirds of the way through that pass, I realized, wait a minute, Arisat is about the same elevation. So we worked AO51 and just tuned the radios to Arisat and heard Arisat again at 3:48, 3:49 that afternoon. Then we closed up the night with SL50 at 4:22, break for sectional. I had 82 people in our room that was set up for 75 for the satellite presentation, how to work these FM birds, their handheld equipment. Had a great time. Nice seeing some of the Big Bear folks, nice seeing some folks that I've only emailed before, and of course those people who walk up to you and you're wondering if they're going to shoot you or shake your hand when they first say, you got me involved in working the satellites. I wonder, oh my God. So I carry AA cards with me. That's Aero Addiction business cards. Other birds that are up, it's a broken record time. Arisat 1 is all nodes are working for us. AO7, if you're a sideband person, is up and running. AO27, wonderfully working for us. Another sideband bird, FO29, is working. So is ZO52. And 50, 51, and packet on the ISS come down at us all the time. It's a great time to be involved in the satellite world. Break for a second. I'll be giving my show in Anchorage, Alaska this Saturday at 2 o'clock their time. That's 3 o'clock our time. For the Anchorage ARRL annual convention. And here's a case, folks, of you better be careful of what you ask for because you might just receive it. Break for a second. At last year's Pacificon up in San Ramon, we crammed 54 folks into a room set up for 44 for my drive little presentation. In a after convention wrap-up session, I said, hey, you know, why don't you give some of your presenters, maybe set them up for back-to-back presentations to allow more convention attendees to watch. Well, Pacificon was listening, and they had me set up for 2 back-to-back presentations on October 15th up in Santa Clara this year. So if you're going to Pacificon, come on up. The show will be on there twice. And again, I'll be able to offer you the elk antenna, the elk log periodic, for 42, 43 bucks off normal price, for only $82, $83, somewhere in there. Also a good discount on the little Smiley HT antenna, 270A. So things are just cooking in the satellite world. It was a great weekend. It's been a great month. AO51 with deteriorating batteries is performing as well as ever for us in VU mode. And I'm still amped up for how well Torrance went for us at the AWRL Southwest Division Convention. Thank you, Tom. K6LC, up there.
Clint, before you go there, on your presentations that you give, or the ones that you're going to give up there at Pacificon, real quick summary, what all does that cover?
Attendees will be given every bit of information they need to know to work the FM satellites with low power, with their handhelds that can do split freaks, with a couple handhelds they have uplink and downlink capability. How to improve antennas a little bit, how to make sure that their satellite prediction software is set up properly, how to find out when the satellites will be over them. Attendees are given every aspect of working FM birds in an hour. Follow, and of course, the website, worksat.com, as a backup.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, I've seen the ads for Pacificon. I don't really know if I'll be able to make that. Clint, also, when you were doing presentations, say, a few years back, were you using a Palm Pilot for your tracking?
I started with a Palm and a program called PocketSat. PocketSat, by a gentleman named Jim, who wrote it, is now available for the iPod Touch and the iPhone, as well as the iPad. And I still like that program because of his roots, because you can get an email answer from him on a question overnight. I had a couple questions this weekend. Well, why don't you recommend so-and-so antenna? Why don't you recommend so-and-so software? Things that I recommend for folks are programs I either have purchased or know that I can get a hold of an author or a vendor and get answers. And there's some great software programs out there for satellite tracking, but you go to their websites, they have not been updated since 2005, and there's no support. Well, I don't feel like putting new folks to this aspect of the hobby through that blood pressure rising by not being able to get answers. So, yeah, I use PocketSat, and on my website, under satellite tracking, there's all sorts of free programs for the Android, for the iPhone, and free sources online for satellite tracking info from Amsterdam and Heavens Above.
KF6Q here with Tech Tuesday and the group. Yeah, I did acquire a Palm Pilot here a while back as a yard sale junk box, a $5 huge box. And besides that, and I can't even list the stuff that was in there, probably about $150 worth of stuff, but it was one of those bargains of the century. I call it that. My wife calls it trash. But anyway, and well, and wasted $5. That's all how you look at it. But anyway, yeah, good to hear that Android and iPhone apps are out there. That's fantastic. So anyway, Clint, keep up the good work there. Appreciate that. A lot out there, and there's a lot more coming up in the future with this. It's a part of the hobby that's just growing and getting better every day. Anyway, want to also talk tonight about setting up for emergency broadcast stations in the field. We kind of went over this a little bit with Field Day, where we set up stuff, but Jim, are you out there listening in? I think you were part of one of these setups over the weekend. Kind of just give me a brief description of what you saw and how it was working there. KJ6KDL, KF6Q.
Yeah, I'm here. I've got all my links open. I'm revisiting the stuff we talked about offline yesterday. This weekend, Saturday, was the Endure the Bear Run, and some guys came up from San Bernardino ECS and brought their field kit, which consisted of a couple of portable 19-inch rack boxes. One of them had voltage regulation in it for in case you had AC power. It had some batteries. It had two radios, a special patch panel with switches and adapters, and a speaker stand with a fiberglass mast pushed up a good 20 feet, and a nice dipole-looking antenna sticking up next to their pop-up, and that was their station. They had somewhere out there a 440 repeater to use that would link back to them, but I don't think anybody was able to use it. Very interesting field gear, looked like it was easy to set up, and put them into base station operation fairly quickly.
Jim, was that the little mobile mini Chevy Blazer with was Zach up there?
Yeah, there was an SUV there, and I don't remember what it was because they had it parked off to the side and they weren't really connected to it.
Okay, Roger that, because I know Zach has got quite a setup there with their rig that he has able to go out there in the field. And, of course, with all the other gear ECS has, it's pretty awesome. But most of that stuff is strictly for emergency only. Well, fantastic. You know, one thing, if you're going to set up for, say, on-the-spot emergency, not really sure where you're going to be, transmission, and you're going to operate as a base. So we all have our antennas and our gear. We've talked about that, backup power, probably about everything under the sun and moon in the last few weeks. But if you're going to actually, say, move mobile, whether it be to a mountaintop or to a parking lot or wherever to assist in an emergency communications setup, got a couple things you got to think about. First off, of course, we want to make sure our battery doesn't go dead. So that's one thing you have to keep an eye on. But the antenna is very, very critical in how far you're going to reach out there, who you're going to be able to talk to. Let me reset real quick. In the case of, say, a search, there was a couple searches here in the last few weeks. There was another one for the gentleman who disappeared from Long Beach over in Holcomb Valley. Different things like this that are set up on the spot. A good hilltop is great, but if you're not, you want to be at least out in the open so you're not blocked by a hilltop. In that aspect, I should say, we're going to turn over to Mike here real quick. Mike, you purchased some of these push-up poles or fiberglass units. They're very portable. Tell me exactly how short they are when they're totally collapsed, and do you remember what they cost?
This is WB6TLZ. They're about 8 feet, depending on where you buy them. They're either 8 feet, they have 6 feet, and then they have some that are 10 feet. I believe MFJ is about 8 feet. The ones I got, and gosh, it escapes me right now where I got them from, but I could look that up. But the ones I got are 6 foot sections, and it goes up to about 43 feet. They're pretty light. They weigh probably 8 to 10 pounds, something like that. They're real rugged. I've got my loop on them up. I don't put them up all the way because they do tend to bend like a fishing pole would. I think the MFJ was around 169, so they're not cheap. The other ones, the ones that I really prefer, are about 139, and that's because they're the manufacturer that manufactures some of them for MFJs. So you can figure an average of 139. My best buy though is at a yard sale. I've got some yellow push-up poles that are about 30 feet, and they were used by Bear Valley Electric to disconnect the disconnects up at the top of pole for one of them, and the other one is used to measure the poles. So I got two of those for $4, $2 each. That's the deal this century. So kind of look out for that kind of stuff too when you're out and about. Back to net control.
I'm sorry, I think I stepped on somebody there. Was there a comment?
K6IJ, a little information on the poles.
Okay, one quick second there. Mike, did you get yours? That was Max Gain, wasn't it?
The name that I couldn't pull up, yeah, Max Gain.
And they came with the cam locks and everything, so they were 100%. I think it was the guy wire little circle things that you had to order separate. Is that correct?
That is correct. They work pretty well without the guy wires if you stand them up against something. Actually, I have mine for a temporary, which will be permanent, installation inside of a corner pole for a chain link fence. They fit inside of there perfectly.
Okay, and also, just as a reminder to people out there listening, Mike, you're using yours actually as the supports for a loop, so they do have tension on them in one direction, which if they were used individually, say with just a vertical, let's say collinear or even a J-pole at the top, they would probably not bend as much. Would you feel that was probably one of the main reasons why they're bending?
I don't put them up all the way, and I do have quite a bit of tension on them to pull that loop taut. But yeah, for a VHF antenna, if you somehow, as you push them up, coupled with wire ties or something to it for support, or an inverted V for HF or something like that, they would be perfect.
Okay, roger that. I'm just saying, you're very successful with what you're doing there, but those four poles, you're stressing them to the max. But that's okay. All right, Harry, you had info. K6RJ, go ahead.
Thank you, Tom. K6RJ. Well, I was this past weekend, actually until Friday late, helping celebrate my grandson's graduation from the Marine Corps boot camp training. And on my way back, I went to the HamCon in Torrance on Saturday, which was $20, and a whole lot of exhibitors. And one of the exhibitors was a unique guy that was, and I'm trying to look in the handout that was given there, the exhibitor that had the poles, which they buy on the internet, they auction from the Army Surplus store or whatever on the web, the surplus poles that Frank W6GZI sells or has for much less. They were selling the poles for $5, but in addition, they had a lot of those not only the poles, but also accessories, which I had not seen before, which are stands that are ideal for portable setups. Let me reset. And let's see, of course, the stakes, bags for the poles, and I'm looking here to see what the name of the place is. But anyway, I'll find it here before the end of the Tech Tuesday. Anyway, it was quite enjoyable. And of course, lots of courses being given during the 3 days, Friday afternoon, Saturday all day, and Sunday half day. And a lot of informative courses that I wish I would have had more time to take in. The schedule, very, very comprehensive. Anyway, back to you, Tom. K6IJ.
Well, I appreciate that, Harry, and I know Frank's out there, and I know he's probably still got oodles of those poles, and I know that if you get in touch with him offline here, I'm sure he can hook you up with some of those. So anyway, yeah, there's like I say, there's two different ways you can have the poles that are separate like that, and in a bag, it's a good way to, that you kind of customize what you're going to set up. I know that there's some push-ups that even Max Dane has that collapse your 4 foot, which is great if you have a car, because it'll fit in your trunk. I think they go up to at least or close to 30 feet, which is up there pretty high. A lot of different options there for setting up something. I know one thing, and I know that I mentioned this a couple years back at Field Day, and everybody looked at me a little weird, but I have seen this. In fact, it was mentioned in one of the issues of QST magazine, and using a balloon, some typical of something not as big as, but like a weather balloon, but something a little bit smaller, used for advertisement with some gas in that. Now, obviously, you cannot have a windy day, but it will get you up there pretty high, enough to get the coax up there and antenna, and that's always an option. As we're talking about all this, are there any questions or comments out there? Please come back to the net, KF6Q. All right. Anyway, Mike, what are your thoughts on using a balloon like that?
I believe, and I don't remember, but we were going to do that at the Fullerton Radio Club, and I think at one time they did do that, and they were very concerned about the wind, but they used that for a 160 vertical, as I remember. Like I say, I was probably 12 years old at the time, but they were going to do that, and it was about like the size that they use for these car lot displays, you know, for car lot advertisement. But I, for the life of me, I just don't remember how that transpired. But, yeah, good idea, provided there's no wind. That's the whole issue. And it still has to be tethered with a rope and guide somewhere to where it's just not going to take off. But, yeah, for HF antennas or a VHF with coax, that would be a great idea.
And, you know, this is also a little bit of the MacGyver stuff we're talking about here. Go ahead. I think we had a comment there. Go ahead.
Do I have it?
Go ahead.
Okay, the guy, or the couple, father-son team there that sold the poles, they were $5, a bag $5, and then stakes $1. All the Army surplus stuff. It's called Ham Pole Man, one word, at gmail.com, hampoleman.com. And I have a telephone number here, as well as hampoleman.blogspot.com. And what I did with my... I think mine is up 36 feet, those 4 foot push up poles. I got a 10 foot, 4 inch, that PVC, that's the backstuff plastic pipe that I slipped over the pipe that would be most likely to flex or bend and makes it less needed to be guided. And mine is not guided, holding up the dipole. And I did it this weekend and it works. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, Eric, good information there, and like I said, there's a lot of people out there that carry that. I know the G that I did also. I got quite a few from him. Good stuff there. You know, here's the one thing to think of, too, and Mike, I think you were talking about this, and Harry is using that, but I know for a fact that George, KA6CIA in Lucerne, has got two dipoles, 90 degrees to each other, different bands, and actually with... If you construct that properly with one of these push-up poles, the dipoles act as, the inverted V dipoles, that is, they act as the guides. Of course, you have to have insulators and whatnot to make sure the antenna is, you know, the proper length and still have the strength tied off to the ground. So there's an option, too, if you were to set up portable, say, for 40 meters and 20 meters or two different bands, on the HF in the field, that'll be your guy wires. That's also becomes your antenna. So, and I believe in most cases they can be fed without any issue because of the fact that they will naturally take the frequency that's being transmitted. So, anybody else out there, any comments or questions, please come back.
Man W.
Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you covered it there, whether they're perpendicular to each other or going the same direction, they can just be fed from the same spot, K61W.
Yeah, and I think, thanks Chris, appreciate that. I think there's probably other combinations that could be had. One would be a... Well, let's see, if we want to get some more bands in there, we've got the other, we got dipoles with other dipoles below them. There's a lot of options there. You can actually get very creative. And if you have this all pre-set up and all pre-measured and with stakes and whatnot and some kind of anchor in the middle, you could actually set up a very awesome portable station for HF and VHF with the other methods we've talked about this evening. So. Anyway, we're going to close it out early tonight as there still are flash flood conditions out there and other storm conditions that are out in the distance. We don't want to tie this up too long this evening, but we do appreciate everybody being out there. Are there any other comments out there on the portable emergency broadcast station antennas? Please come back to KF6Q.
I got a quick one.
Go ahead, Mike.
Thing I don't think we mentioned is that little twin lead J pole that we made at one of the antenna seminars. Those are kind of cool. And yeah, closing that is probably a good thing for me tonight too. Okay, back to you.
Well, Raj, I appreciate that, Mike. You know, like I said, there's all different types of antennas like that. We just want to cover on that briefly. But with weather conditions as they are, we don't want to use the full hour tonight. Kind of keep it loose out there. But I do appreciate everybody for checking in, those who have. And like I said, if we did have conditions where there's a lot of lightning strikes nearby, a lot of flash floods nearby, this is typically when we do not have a net. We'll always announce that it's canceled, but we do want to leave it open for any emergency traffic. Very highly likely that it could occur at that time. So anyway, appreciate everybody out there this evening. QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net, closing the net at 1900 hours and 39 minutes. Once again, appreciate everybody being out there. We'll get into the MacGyvers. Ham radio on duct tape is the topic for next Tuesday. Different ways to fabricate and fix something in the field with a little fix-it kit. See you all then next week at 1900 hours. This is KF6Q returning the repeater back to normal use.